Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, where we help you build yourself, build your business, and join the new 1% of individuals that are living a meaningful, free, and fulfilled life through self-development and online entrepreneurship. My name is Dan Cote, and today I have my good friend and business partner, Joey, aka The Cypreneur, with me on this segment of the Modern Mastery Podcast that we call Lifestyle Mastery, where we dive deep into a specific topic about how you can master your mind, body, spirit, or business, along with discussing what we've learned this week and our personal struggles so you do not have to repeat our mistakes. But before we get into it, let's talk about Modern Mastery HQ. MMHQ is a tight-knit community of creators, coaches, freelancers, and any other ambitious individuals that want to grow themselves and their businesses. You get to steal the proven systems, strategies, and processes from myself, a marketing consultant, and Joey, a performance consultant, to build a predictable and sustainable income source as an online entrepreneur through both tangible and intangible skill acquisition. This success is a result of becoming a high-value individual. This is what we help you achieve. The information inside is responsible for making members tens of thousands of dollars and drastically improving their quality of life. From monthly trainings, weekly action articles, 30-day habit challenges, monthly live calls, real-time help, and much more, it is the all-in-one solution for growing yourself and your business. As an entrepreneur, your business growth relies heavily on your personal growth. In Modern Mastery HQ, we nearly force both of those. If you absorb the information and do what we say, it's near impossible to fail. Our processes are time-tested, and we hold absolutely nothing back in terms of the information we provide. So if you want to join 450-plus members in accelerating their journey to a sovereign and free life, go to join.modernmastery.co and join for less than the price of a night out. With that said, I have a few favors to ask that cost $0. So if you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe or follow, depending on which platform you're listening on. It's just one button click away. It takes 1 second to do this. It costs nothing, and it truly helps support the growth of this podcast and get more organic listeners. The next thing, you can leave us a rating and review, letting us know what you thought, or just leaving a comment if this is on YouTube. Or you can tag us at Modern Mastery on Twitter or at Modern Mastery HQ on Instagram with a link to this episode and some kind words. And if you do all three, send us a DM and we have something special to give you. Without further ado, let's dive right into this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. Yo, Joey, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, dude? I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing very good. What kind of? My allergies are absolutely killing me. So if I start having a sneeze attack, I apologize to everyone.
Just mute right yourself now. And I'll carry it. It's fine.
Yeah, I need some of that raw honey. I've been back on the raw honey game, and hopefully it cures my allergies soon. For those that don't know, raw honey helps with allergies.
Yeah, I've gotten some local like honeycomb or no bee pollen. That's what it was. It was bee pollen from a farmer's market near here. That stuff is just like magic as far as allergies. I used to get allergies really bad when I would go out for my walks, but ever since taking that stuff every day, it's been a huge help.
Note, all right, I might.
When you first start taking something like that, take like one grain of it and work your way up, because you may be allergic to that and you don't want to take a tablespoon of it if you're allergic. So be careful.
Okay. I will. Okay. So for this episode, we had a question in Modern Mastery HQ, which is our community. You should know about that already. Join. Yep. But it is going to set the stage for this entire podcast. We figured we'd do an entire podcast on it because there's a lot of things here that we can talk about, and I think it'll really help a lot of people. So the question is from Mick, who's a new member, and he said, I've been in the fitness industry for 11 years. I've worked in big box gyms, then ran my own facility. I sold it due to the fact that I lost passion for the industry. Now,
I'm working on a construction site in a family business. Good money, but I'm looking for something more. How do I ignite my passion again? The thought of having an online business and having freedom is appealing, but I can't seem to overcome my mental demons. Do you have any tips for overcoming this? So there's a lot there, and I want to talk about a few things. So there's the passion aspect, reigniting that passion, or at least creating that passion for the industry again. And then the mental demons, which in the last episode with Joey and I, we talked about like the top three mental hurdles of entrepreneurs. So that could help, but we'll dive into the mental demons a bit. And then I want to go in to like a basic business foundation that you can go after, like as a coach or creator or digital product seller, personal brand, like how all of those intertwine and how you can start a fitness business online and use your prior experiences, because you've been in the fitness industry for 11 years. You've worked in big box gyms. You ran your own facility. You have a lot that you can talk about there, man. There's a lot that you can teach people, and that alone can be the fuel for coaching clients, product sales, et cetera, et cetera. So let's start off with the passion aspect of things. And I'm going off of what Joey said, and we both nerd out over The Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler. So first, read that book and that'll solve the problem, because a lot of what we say is coming from that. Yep. But overall, it's not about like finding the passion. It's not like, oh, the passion just appears. There's actually a pretty step-by-step framework in how the neurochemicals in your brain can be sparked, intentionally sparked, to tie passion to your interests or curiosities. So I'll let Joey take it. You can probably articulate this better than me. But what's the first step to creating that passion?
Yeah, so the whole concept of following your passion gets tossed around a lot, especially in the online business world. And it's somewhat flawed advice, because what if you don't really have a passion yet? Or what if your passion isn't something that's solving a problem or monetizable, right? So that can be pretty ineffective advice for a lot of people. So where you really need to start is with things that you're curious about, things that you have a little bit of interest in. So taking me, for example, some of my big interests over the past few years have been astronomy, psychology, neuroscience, programming, personal development, things like that. Well, so the first step would be write down all these things that you have a little bit of curiosity about. And then what you want to look for are ways that they might overlap, right? So if you take me again, you know, my business is based on the overlap of psychology and neuroscience and personal development. So I'm a science-based performance coach. And the reason why you want to look for these overlaps, well, one reason is because the neurobiological effects that you're going to get from working on something you're curious about get multiplied, right? It's a huge multiplication where you're going to be even more motivated to research and work on something when it's a intersection between multiple things that you're curious about. And then another benefit of that is that you wind up creating something pretty unique, right? So there may be millions, thousands or millions of performance coaches, but there's significantly less that are working based on actual science. You can say the same about, you know, you, Dan, you talk to a lot of web design agency owners. Well, when they start to niche down towards coaches or fitness people or things like that, because they have a bit of an interest in those fields, they become more specialized. And typically when you become more specialized, you earn more and you can provide more value to that target audience, but that's a whole other discussion. But ultimately what you want to do is find crossovers between these things that you're curious about, and then put some time on your calendar to start digging into them, start researching them and see like, oh, am I actually interested in this thing? Like if I look on, look to see what the, you know, the cutting edge or like the just the first page of Google, whatever says about this combination, is it something that I'm really interested in or not? Am I thinking about it when I'm doing something else? Like that's usually a pretty good sign. And if not, it's totally fine too. Then maybe look at another combination or maybe go back to the drawing board and write some more things down to look into. This whole thing about finding and following your passion isn't exactly correct in my mind. It's more so that you create your passion. And that's really what I did with my business is I found this crossover between cognitive science and self-improvement and created something that I was really passionate about. So the reason why you want to take this approach to it is mainly rooted in neurobiology and neurochemistry. But as long story short, what's going to happen is when you take this approach and you find the thing that really grabs you and pulls you, then you're going to be a lot more intrinsically motivated to work on that thing. So that's going to get you through the downtimes and the long nights and the struggles that inevitably happen in business and life, no matter what we're doing. It's going to get you through that, and you're not going to fall off quite as easily, and you're going to be able to return to it easier as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a few things that I would recommend. One, you have an interest for fitness, just the passion has kind of disappeared there, or whatever feeling you had at first when you were doing it yourself, right? I think you got into a business model where you were catering to other people's interests more than your own, with fitness being the driver for that. And I think what you could do is, one, you have some interest in online business, as it seems. And the way that Stephen Kotler says this is just write down 25 interests that you have. Write them down. So fitness is one. And the more specific you are with these, the better. So fitness, let's say like weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting or something, or strength training, or weightlifting programs or something of that sort. And then online business, what are you interested in? Interested in learning how to create digital products, learning how to grow an audience, learning how to run paid ads, learning SEO, learning how to write blog articles, all of that stuff. And then write down more interests, see where they overlap, and literally like circle the overlaps. Like, okay, which two of these can work together? And the thing, here's what I would recommend to you. It'd be start looking up how to create a fitness business. And we'll dive into that. So hopefully this fuels your curiosity for that and allows you to dive deeper into it. And you're a member of MMHQ. So you can go through and like learn marketing for your fitness knowledge and how to do that. And one thing I also want to add is it's becoming more and more apparent to me that the creator economy, or just building a personal brand in general, is a fucking blessing, man. Like once you actually pursue it and get better at it and actually see progress with it, it's a huge blessing. And anyone can do it given persistence and mastering your craft and iterating and learning and just becoming better at it. That's the same with all things, which most people won't do. Therefore, you can. But a personal brand, that's like the biggest fuel or the best way to pursue a passion, because then it is monetizable, right? You're literally talking about the things that you're learning about or have learned about. So not only are you pursuing curiosity so you can create content based off of it, but you're also mastering your craft. So another, the way that Stephen Kotler puts it, in order to get into flow or perform at a peak state, is there's the five steps. So we talked about the curiosity and the passion, but it goes curiosities, writing those down, passion being born out of those intersections, tying a purpose to that passion. So you have a why for doing it. Therefore, you're building more of that intrinsic drive. And then autonomy. So being able to do this whenever you want, being able to pursue those curiosities and your and build your passion whenever and wherever you want. And this it goes deeper into this in the book. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I work for myself all the time, but just being able to create your own schedule at certain times of the day and do what you want, it's important. And then the mastery aspect. So this is the final thing that like gets people into flow in a sense. And the mastery aspect is just getting better and better at what you do, but it's also seeking the challenge in something like the challenging aspect of doing the work is what's going to put you into that flow state. Correct, Joey?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Challenge is a big part of it. Yeah.
Okay. So the thing with this is you're going to have those curiosities or those interests. You have them overlap. You start to learn about them. You dive deep down the rabbit hole. I mean, you know how it goes if you're self-educated. It's like you'll watch a course and then that course brings up another talking point and you're like, oh shit, I got to go research that now. And then you read through that and then you read through another thing and you watch more YouTube videos and you start following different people on social media. And soon you're like enveloped in that space of interest and the passion starts to tie there. That's how we got, how I formed a passion for fitness when I was younger. Is I just enveloped myself in the space and I saw what other people are doing and I saw the overlaps and I researched the overlaps. And then you tie purpose to it. Read the book if you want to go deeper into this, but then autonomy. So being able to create that schedule and do it when you want is good. So if you like wake up in the morning and you have free time to pursue this stuff, but then the challenging aspect, the mastery aspect and having a challenge there is what building a business is. And this is a personal brand. This is a fucking personal brand or just a business. It's like, okay, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling to come up with content ideas. I'm struggling to actually create this product. I'm struggling to come up with my high ticket offer. I'm struggling to get my marketing down right. And that's what puts you into that flow state. Like, oh, I don't know how to build this part of my landing page out, or you're testing different designs and all of that stuff. And that's when it kicks in. You're like, oh shit, you find yourself, you wake up, quote unquote, wake up like 2 hours later and you're like, holy shit, that was 2 hours of work.
Yep.
That's crazy. And this happened to me with coding. Like I had learned the marketing stuff for so long. It's like, I learned SEO. I learned web design. I learned graphic design. I learned Photoshop art. And then I started researching like jobs that I could get without a degree and came across like coding, developer jobs. And so I started studying that on my own and I would just be learning and coding and trying to build out projects for hours upon hours every single day. Now I was in college, so I had that autonomy. Right, I had that freedom to make my own schedule in a sense because a lot of my classes were online, didn't go to campus too much. I skipped a lot of classes, to be frank. And I just spent my time in my room coding, like in a deep flow state, listening to music and like making insane progress that way. The 3 to 4 hours of deep focused work is, it's a meme. But at the same time, it's like if you can get into that state of just deep work, doing something you enjoy, I don't think you can ask for anything more, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing you want to think about is what's called the challenge skills balance or challenge skills matrix. So if you think about a 2x2 matrix with challenge on one side or like the horizontal and your skills on the vertical, for example, if you have low skill and low challenge, then you're just going to be like apathetic. If you have high skill but low challenge, you're going to be bored. If the challenge is too high but your skills are too low, then you're going to be intimidated and you're not going to want to do anything. The sweet spot where we get excited is when the challenge is high and our skills are high too. So you constantly want to be pushing yourself. There's a common misconception all across productivity and performance conversations where people think that as they level up their skills, life gets easier, but it's not like that at all. It shouldn't. It's not supposed to be like that, at least. It's a lot like playing D&D or World of Warcraft or some other game like that. You start off at like level one and you go off and do a quest to go get like 13 wolf tails or something. And then you level up. And then as you're leveling up, you're not still fighting wolves. You're fighting harder enemies. You're facing harder challenges. And it's the exact same way with fitness, right? Like he would know very well, Mick would know very well, and you do as well, about, you know, when you're leveling up yourself physically, you're not going and lifting the same weight day in and day out. You're constantly like putting more weight on there and you're lifting heavier. In business, when you want to level up, like, yeah, you're still consistently doing the fundamentals, but you're taking on bigger challenges. You're trying new things. You're able to accept new challenging opportunities. So it's not exactly that as you go, things get easier. Instead, you get stronger so that you're able to do bigger and better things. So the problem with that is that that can be disheartening for some people, because it can turn into something of a grind week after week, where it's like you're constantly struggling, you're constantly facing challenges. And that's why, you know, the performance stuff that we talk about is so important, so that you're able to face these challenges and keep working at them without becoming burned out and without losing your passion. I would be willing to bet, something I've been thinking about since I read this question, I'd be willing to bet that for Mick, fitness itself wasn't the thing that he got burnt out with. Maybe the industry, perhaps, but fitness, the topic of fitness, wasn't what he got burnt out with. It was something that was going on either in the industry or the way that he was going about his fitness related work. I bet that was the actual problem. And that right there is something that does happen quite often, is something in the way that we're doing things makes us burn out and it ruins our passion. And so we think that, oh, well, I just lost interest in this thing, when really it wasn't that at all. It was that we started getting burnt out. We started getting, you know, unhappy with what it is that we're doing. And our brain just kind of made that negative association with that thing and that feeling. Like, our brain is a association machine, basically. So it will do that. I kind of have that feeling now about programming, because when I graduated and then started my programming career, I hated that job that I was working, and I hated the corporate programming lifestyle. So now, oftentimes when I think about programming, I can feel that. I can feel that negative association there. But I still kind of like programming as a concept and as a skill. I still do it a little bit from time to time. So my point is, there is, we need to be actively making sure that we are going about our work sustainably, so that we're staving off burnout. And when we recognize that we're getting burned out, we need to have strategies in place for overcoming that, which would be a great topic for a future podcast, and training for MMHQ as well. But when we feel our passion dropping, we need to be realistic and ask ourselves, is it because of, you know, me losing interest in this thing, or is it because of some other factor making me lose interest? Right now, it's perfectly okay. There are times where we just lose interest in something, but I'm really, like, the way that this question is worded, I'm really sensing here that there was something in the way that he was doing his work, or something with the industry, that caused this, rather than he just got bored with fitness.
Yeah, I agree. And it's the same thing. Like, I mean, we deal with this all the time. Like, I'm very, very passionate about self-actualization as a whole, because, I mean, I see the direct benefits of that. I fucking love doing that on my own. But then when it comes to teaching people, one, I fucking love that. I love seeing the results. But then, like, when it comes to Twitter or something else where it's like, I'm kind of passionate about it. It's like, I do like writing. I do like coming up with content, but there's just something about it that it's not me actually doing the things that I'm passionate about. And I don't know, you kind of need to reframe it, and you need to actually teach the things that you're learning as opposed to just going for the algorithm bait or something of that nature. I mean, you can get thrown off because, like, oh, you're spending like an hour actually doing something that you're passionate about, and then you spend 4 hours editing a video about it. And it's like, if you're not passionate about video editing and making that really good, then yeah, you can see where that problem comes into play. But then that's an aspect of like self-discipline and outsourcing if you can, or moving your focus to something else that will bring more tangible results because you're able to put more like passion fueled quality work into that. Maybe YouTube isn't the platform for you. Maybe TikTok isn't the platform for you. Maybe Twitter is, maybe Instagram is, maybe somewhere else is, maybe none are, and that's perfectly fine. You can find another way to go about it. But yeah, that's the main thing. And we can start to go into the whole mental demons argument, but taking a quick break to discuss the mastery program, because we are that the next cohort starts on the 1st. So that's literally like 2 weeks from when this podcast gets posted. And there are, I forget how many people have signed up so far. We have like 8 people. Yep. If Miranda joins, Miranda's cool. You'll meet her in there if you join. But there are only a limited number of spots. I mean, everything we've talked about here is what we run you through. We literally run you through, here's your interests. Here's how you spark that passion. Here's how you attach the purpose. Now, in terms of the autonomy, okay, we need to monetize that. So I walk you through my marketing frameworks. I help you grow on social media. I help you systemize everything. I help you create your offers so you can land clients or sell the digital products. It's foolproof because we've done what you want to do, and we've seen massive success because it's both Joe and I's consulting combined at a lower cost. So I don't know how to explain aside from that. We guarantee results. We guarantee you make $4,000. If you don't, you retain access to work with us until you do. So literally, what's the deal here? You make $4,000 or you don't. So if you want to join, there'll be a link in the description, or you can go to join.modernmastery.co/program. Now, back to the podcast, even though this is live, a live ad on stream.
Yep.
So overcoming my mental demons. Now, I'm assuming this is like some limiting belief that has to do with either starting to spark that passion again, or like limiting beliefs. Like I'm not experienced enough to actually start a business out of this. I mean, you ran your own facility, so maybe that's a perspective change you need. Joey, does anything come to mind? Because he didn't dive too deep into the mental demons, but what would, I already know it you'll say, but like, what's the first step to overcoming mental demons in general?
Well, the very first step would be understanding them a bit better. So
by brain dumping.
Yep.
Motherfucker.
Just write it down.
Brain dump.
Any question, just write it down. So the very first thing you want to do is do a brain dump. If you're not familiar with brain dumping, basically what you do is grab a pen and a paper and start writing. Write down the stuff on your mind. It can either be untargeted, which is where you just write down anything on your mind, positive, negative, or neutral. Or it can be targeted, where, you know, that has applications for task management as well as dealing with specific things like this. And it's incredibly effective. So in Mick's case, what I would say, what you want to do is start writing down what you believe these mental demons are. So start actually, you know, writing down the details of what you've been thinking, what you've been feeling, and how they've been holding you back. But then also question how realistic each one is. So if you have, say, a limiting belief about, I don't know your case or anything like that. So I'll just come up with an example. Say, for example, you have this limiting belief of, well, it's too late to build an online business, or maybe it's too hard to build an online business and you don't have time due to, you know, maybe your family and commitments and stuff like that. Or maybe you have a limiting belief of it being too risky, whatever the case may be. Just start writing that these things down and then start working through them and ask yourself if they're actually realistic, or come back to Dan or I and ask us directly, you know, is this realistic? This is what I wrote down. This is what I'm thinking and feeling. What do you guys think? And you're going to find that that really will clear your mind. First off, it'll clear your mind because you're just getting the stuff out of your mind. But you'll find that you're able to work through the stuff, because when you put it on paper, it's kind of like you're talking to someone, right? Like it's almost like talk therapy just with a notepad. It's insanely effective. So you'll be able to kind of work through and overcome some of these mental demons that are holding you back, some of these mental hurdles, and you'll find that you'll have a much better mindset after this exercise. So after that, like I said, you can, you know, hit up Dan or I, or post in one of the channels on a like PD discussion would probably be a good place for it in MMHQ. Post in there and we'll help you out. And then you're going to be in a much better place to then, you know, figure out what kind of online business you'd want to build. And then you'll also be better off mentally to start building that and start pursuing that.
I agree. Yeah. One thing, I heard this from another podcast, Hindsight. Very, very, very spiritual. Like some people may not vibe with it. I find it very relaxing and I enjoy listening to it. But one thing that he mentioned, it was a story of like a 12-year-old girl, right? 12-year-old girl. I believe it was like his cousin or sister or something, came up to him and was in a bad mood. Like both of them knew that she was in a bad mood. She just wasn't willing to talk. She didn't want to talk. And she came out and just spoke into existence what she was feeling, like with complete honesty. I forget what she said, but after that, the problem dissolved. Like that's really all it takes sometimes. This may work for you, so I would encourage you to try it. And it's hard to do. You have to force yourself to do it because it's like, oh no, I don't want to burden people with my problems. I don't want to like even talk about it. Like it'll spark more conversation and arguments maybe. But the thing is speaking your self-awareness honestly into the world. And this is also a practice for becoming more self-aware and understanding its importance. Is so let's say something's on my mind. Like I'm just pissed off at something that happened earlier in the day. I come to Joey, I send him a voice message and I'm like, hey Joey, this thing happened to me earlier. I feel like absolute shit. I'm not good to go for the podcast today. Like the energy isn't high. And speak honestly, like you know your situation better than I do, for example. So speak honestly to someone about it, or write it down, as we said, like brain dump everything that comes before that or after that. And that's kind of just how you dissolve the stress. That's a main teaching in the book Awareness by Anthony DeMello as well, is that once you're truly aware of something, that is when it's very easy to see it as irrational, and it kind of just dissolves after that. Because the whole problem with this is that most things are a mind game. They really are. Like if I tell you it's all in your head and then you come back to me and say it's not in your head, that's a part of the mind game. Like you're just justifying it with your mind. And of course there's higher and lower degrees of quote unquote problems here, but it is all a mind game. And being able to become aware of that and in the higher degrees of those negative emotions, it's very hard to do that. It's extremely hard to do that. So it's a constant practice. Because think of it this way, like let's say I'm for example, like I'm in thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. Thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. It's crippling when I focus on that. When I focus on that, that's when the problem gets bigger. When in reality, when I'm not focused on that, when I'm not dwelling on it, the problem is this big. For those that can see the video, it's the size of a breadcrumb, right? You don't even fucking think about it. Doesn't matter. And anyone can relate to this experience of having a huge problem, but at times it's not even on your mind. So it doesn't matter. It's a mind game, right? But when you focus on it, when you focus on that external thing, the problem grows. It grows and grows and grows internally. And then once you shine the light of awareness on it, it starts to shrink and you gain perspective of like, okay, this is a mind game. Like it wasn't a problem before. It's only a problem when I focus on it. And you start working back from there and you question its rationality and you work out a plan. And this is literally what brain dumping is in the physical sense. It's becoming aware of your problems, writing them out, and just getting it out of your head. Because when it's in your head, that's when it can grow because you're focusing on it. It's there. It's occupying so much mental space and energy. And that's the main thing. So I would recommend speaking your mental demons out into the world to somebody honestly and seeing what they have to say, and then coming back and writing it down in your journal or anywhere and just becoming very, very aware of those problems and their rationality and that it is a mind game and determining where to place your focus next. Man, I could go on for hours about this. I was reading something yesterday about, I think I'm going to become like the focus guy. I want to rebrand every 5 seconds, but the focus is such a huge thing in my life and other people's life. Awareness is focus. Deep work is focus. There's narrow focus, which is usually something external or bodily or physical. And that's where it's like hyper state of focus. You're more, I forget which brain waves, I'm still researching this, but like there's narrow focus and then there's open focus. And open focus, you're focusing on nothing. Narrow focus, you're focusing on something physical or tangible, like a bodily sensation, like mindfulness meditation or something that you're working on. And those two focuses, they switch like brainwaves, like alpha and theta. I forget which one is which, but it's like a hack for becoming more creative. It's a hack for doing more efficient work. It's a hack for other things. And I eventually want to break this down and be able to articulate it, but it's the same thing with internal versus external focus. Internal focus being like metacognition and, questioning the things that are in your head so you can deem their rationality. It's awareness. And then external focus is what everyone talks about. You're focusing on things that are out of your control and you're allowing that problem to grow and grow and grow. So maybe eventually we'll do an entire podcast on focus because I fucking love it. And it's a pillar in one of the, in the book I am planning to write. Focus, energy, and experience are the main pillars, but they all intertwine. Like focus is literally the fucking driving force of that. So I might even start writing the whole book on focus, but having those two things as other pillars with like, oh, it could be a pyramid. Oh shit. It could be a pyramid with the center pillar being focus. It holds the other ones up. And then there's like experience and energy. And then those collapse. Oh fuck, man. Well,
wow.
To those that love tattoos, I already got three pillars tattooed on me. So gonna have to redo that one. It looks sick. It looks sick either way. I don't care. But damn, this is the whole thing. Like I'm fucking passionate about focus. Now I'm hyped up, ready to go. I'm challenging myself, trying to articulate these things. And now I just want to go deeper and learn more about it. Ooh, so,
and that is a perfect example of someone who is intrinsically motivated because they have something they're passionate about.
Yes. I'm in flow state right now, motherfucker. No, I'm not.
Yep.
I don't think I am. I never know. But I definitely
it's not a binary thing. It's not a binary thing. It's more of a spectrum. Really? Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I was reading
I'm in flow state, bitches.
I was reading a meta-analysis of, I think, 42 studies about flow state And the conclusion that I got from it was that it's more of a spectrum, like not flow, kind of flow, and then deep in flow.
Nice.
Because that's what I do with intrinsic motivation is I read research papers.
Yeah.
Because I'm in
it. Nah. Yeah. I want to do that for my book because, I mean, that makes it more credible in a sense, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But with one of my pillars being experience, I don't think I want to do it at all. It's just going to all be based off personal experience and let people try and fail for themselves. So we'll see. Enough about my book. Let's dive into like how to actually turn this shit into a business. And there's in a lot of, so in the links in the podcast description, I have a business training there. Solopreneur Foundations, which is like a free training from Modern Mastery HQ. And it goes over a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about now. And it's distilled into a very simple framework, something you can come back and focus on. And here's the thing. Okay. So you need two things. You need lead generation/traffic. So people, eyeballs, and you need an offer or multiple offers, but mainly just an offer, right? Maybe missing something there, but that's the main thing. Like, think of it like that. It's like you have something that people can buy, you sell something, which is what every single business in the history of fucking ever does. They sell something. You need to sell something if you want to make money, okay? Next, the lead generation and traffic, it's getting people, it's like systems for getting people to look at your offer and buy it. Now, there's a lot of moving pieces there in optimizing that entire process, but that's the main thing. So the best, absolute best way to do this from the start and will help your curiosity pursuit is to emulate people. I keep fucking saying this, and it's the most helpful thing. Is just emulate people that you want to be like. That's how I got into Twitter. That's how I started selling more of my offers. That's how I have started this podcast. It's like I saw someone doing what I wanted to do. So Jose Rosado was one of, I can never stop giving homage to Jose Rosado, but I saw Jose Rosado. He was a web designer on Twitter that also talked about marketing and self-improvement. I saw his tweets. I'm like, I could write this shit. I could write these. Like, what's stopping me from actually doing this? So I started writing the tweets. That led to me like trying to understand the platform more. Okay, how can I market myself better and more unique than Jose? How can I get eyeballs on my profile to grow faster? And there's a bunch of different like Twitter growth tricks and tips to doing that. We have some in MMHQ. And then it's like, okay, now I need to sell a product. So how are other people selling their product? One, they have a product. They have to create a product. And you need to understand how those are made. So go and buy a product that is similar to something you want to create. Reverse engineer how they created it and how they marketed it. What makes you read through the landing page? What makes you buy? And emulate that and start learning about those things. And next, okay, how do I get my now audience and followers to actually buy that? So you learn sales, persuasion, some copywriting, and you learn how to promote on the timeline. And Twitter is great for this because you can actually post links in the replies. You can't do that on Instagram. You can kind of do that on YouTube, but it doesn't pop the thing back up in the timeline and show it in front of everyone's face. So Twitter has its downsides, but man, for sales and stuff, it's very, very powerful in getting eyeballs on your thing. So if you want to take it further than that, that's just like, okay, you have one traffic mechanism, Twitter, and you have one offer, let's say a digital product. Now, if you want to take it further than that, you could turn your digital product into a coaching offer or a freelance offer, depending on the skill or interest that you have. And you do the same thing. You emulate what other people are doing and why it sells. Because a lot of people get offer creation wrong and they commoditize themselves too early. They aren't an authority. And then after that, you can start setting up email sequences, building a list. I actually don't want to dive too deep into this because it'll just cause too much overwhelm. There's a lot of shit you can do, if you want to learn more about that, download the free training that's in the description. But the main points, just start emulating what other people are doing. Like, find someone that the content you love and have probably learned most of your stuff from. Take your personal experiences and start posting about them in the way that the other person does, but from your own personal perspective. Create a product based on what you know. Learn at least the foundations of marketing. Again, all in MMHQ. And go from there. That's all I'm going to say, is literally just start and start figuring it out on your own, and let those curiosities overlap and give you that sweet dopamine hit, and then just like go deeper, deeper, deeper. And when those mental demons come, and they will, you'll get burnout, you'll get overwhelmed. You're like, is this something I really want to do? When you know it fucking is, speak it honestly into the world. Awareness, write it out. Brain dump, awareness, and I guarantee your problem will be fixed. I think it is that simple in some cases. If it's not, join fucking Modern Mastery HQ. We solve all problems, baby.
Yep.
And we're introducing quests. I'm hype about this. I'm sorry for the endless promotion, but we're going to start creating quests, which is literally just like step by step. It's literal quests, like in a video game. And it's going to be like step by step. Okay. Here's the land your first client quest, where it's like, okay, go do this, create this, refine this, post in MMHQ about this, get feedback on this, validate your offer. Now hop in people's DMs. Here's exactly what you write step by step. And then at the end, you get like points or experience points, and then you can cash them in for like social media shout outs or a call. Like a coaching call or something of that case. So like, we're still in the planning phases, but man, I'm so fucking excited for this. This reignited my passion for MMHQ. Cause think, like, just being quite honest, things started getting a bit stale for a second, and it's like, okay, like this isn't how I was feeling at the very start of it, but now it's like, oh, we can add on to it. We can make it better. We can help more people like actually do these things and take action. And we're listening to the feedback and we're constantly iterating. And the message behind everything that we do is in MMHQ. And I mean, that's a testament for what we've done. And what we're telling you to do is take your prior experiences, take your prior interests, take your curiosities, just dive fully into them. And then over time, after doing that for so long, after going through the curiosity, passion, purpose, autonomy, mastery phase, and continuing that just over and over again, you stack experience, right? The game of life. You literally stack experience points, and you get to a point where you have so much prior perspective and experience and all of these things that you can talk about and use to create not only products, but brands based on those experiences. And that's what sets you apart in like the personal brand space. Your USP, your unique selling proposition, is usually your personality, and your personality is formed from those experiences that you've had over time and what you're actually teaching people from your own personal perspective. So your experiences and personality are your USP in that case, and that's what sets you apart. And people are buying you and your message over the other person who's just selling a commoditized product, like someone who is just basic and kind of boring per se, that is selling a commoditized product, will sell less than the person that has their message down, tweets from experience, and just does what we just said. Lost train of thought, but that's the main thing. And then, of course, if you have your marketing down and you're good at copywriting, sales persuasion, that all that stuff matters too. But that's the main thing, man. What would you say?
I'm really hyped about the quests and further gamifying MMHQ as we go. That's a concept that I've been pretty interested in for a long time, but I'm excited to finally start actually applying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I same. Like, it'll be really fun to just like create. It's like a game with tangible results. Like, it's fucking cool, man. Like, even the challenges are semi gamified right now, in a sense. It's more so like accountability, but there's definitely a way where we can gamify that, because there is the gamification of like who interacts the most and is on the leaderboards in MMHQ. Like, the top three get to choose from specific prizes. So I don't know, man. I don't know how to market MMHQ any better than this. So fucking join, please. Please, I need more people in MMHQ. No, I'm kidding. We have like, we're closing in on 600 members. That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's been really active lately. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, even the roundtable today, all those questions, like, we went over, but it was really good. Yeah. And I mean, we could just discuss like the changes we're considering in MMHQ right now.
Yeah.
Because technically we're good on time for the podcast, but like, here are some of my ideas, right? We could, so trainings are going to be turned into quests monthly quests. I feel like that'd be pretty manageable on our end. We still have the weekly articles, which are like resources that we'd be able to point people back to from the quests, so they have all of their learning resources in one place. And then we might even eventually, I think we'll have to do like weekly stall busters and only do it chat based. So they post the question based on the thread that's in there, and then we answer those questions on a live stream. The recordings placed in there, and then like trainings and critiques would be moved to the mastermind. But, and the mastermind is included in the mastery program. Join.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to do, man. Like, I don't feel overwhelmed with this shit. Like, when it comes to MMHQ, it's like, oh yeah, let's fucking go. Like, I'm ready to just knock all this shit out.
Yeah.
I'm going to start on the quest today. Like, my first quest may not be posted soon. I'll try and post it this month. Third week of the month is when trainings are usually supposed to go in. So first quest, probably business foundations, is going in third week.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, I don't have anything else. Joey, do you have anything else? Anything you're struggling with?
No, nothing I can think of. I'm prepping my half of mastery program curriculum. So that's my only focus this week, other than clients in the gym.
Nice. I'm dealing with fucking allergies. I haven't, maybe the raw honey is already working. I haven't sneezed much. I've held a few back, but allergies, they fucked me up yesterday. I only slept like 3 hours because my head was like pounding, but I'm good now. Kind of much better, much fucking better. Oh, my snake. Nobody cares about this, but I have a snake. His name is Watts. He's a blue-eyed leucistic ball python. And he had mites. He had fucking mites, which are like little tiny bugs, and they're like only attracted to reptiles. So our dog's fine and everything else is fine. But man, they are a bitch to get rid of, man. Like, you have to get this spray. You have to quarantine the snake. You have to clean everything to a T. Like, anything that the snake could touch, clean it to a T. And so he's out in the kitchen right now, sitting in the fucking empty cage with like Tupperware as a shelter and like Tupperware as a water bowl, so we can see if there's any mites left. But he's definitely almost done. I think we do one more treatment tomorrow, and then I'm going to get him a badass new cage so I don't have to worry about the other cage housing some mites. So I'm going to get him a sick cage. He's going to be slithering around all fucking cool.
I'm going to get to meet him in a couple months.
Yeah. November, baby.
Yep.
I'm going to watch some NASCAR. I'm ready.
It's probably be the most Southern thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah. Hey, you can still come out for Gold Rush. That's like Friday. Elenium's playing Friday. You could come out like a Friday trip. I think I'm going all 3 days, but, or I can just send you videos.
Yeah. I need to see how close to done I am with Notion at that point.
Yeah. All right, man. We can stop talking about our personal problems, but yeah, great ending to the podcast. I'm very good at doing outros. So Joey, I'll see you in the next one. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this one. If you enjoyed this one, tweet us on Twitter. Just let us know what you thought. Maybe throw some insights in there. Start growing your audience. We'll retweet you.
Yep.
And tag us. Make sure you tag me and Joey.
Yep. We will retweet you.
Yes, sir. But that's it. All right, man. Have a good day, Joey. I'll talk to you after this because we're only stopping the recording and not the actual video. But everyone else, we'll see in the next one. Deuces.
See y'all. Bye.
My friends, thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. I have a few favors to ask you. For a whopping $0, you can support this podcast by following, rating, and subscribing on whatever platform you are listening on. And for an additional $0, you can share this podcast on your social media accounts, tag me in it at TheDanCo, and I will share you on the community page. This truly helps the Modern Mastery community and podcast grow and allows me to bring you top-tier guests to fuel your hunger for wisdom. It costs $0, but it does cost you your time, and we understand how valuable that can be. But considering you spent an hour or so listening to this podcast, a one-minute subscribe or follow button click and social media share isn't too much to ask. And if you truly enjoyed it, we would hope that you do this out of the kindness of your heart, and we truly appreciate it. And the second favor, which costs money, is joining Modern Mastery HQ, the only platform you need to master your mind, body, and spirit while building a 5 to 10K a month online business as a creator, coach, freelancer, or entrepreneur. You can go to join.modernmastery.co to join 350 plus members and gain instant access to information that has the potential of making you hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime as a business owner. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, and I hope to see you in the next one. Peace.